All right, picking it up here, we're going to start tonight in 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 4. And I'm going to read down through verse 6. This is the 12th lesson. If this is the first one you're hearing, you will get blessed by it. There will be information in it that will help you. But if you would go back and listen to the previous 11, John is a masterful teacher. Everything he teaches is based on what he previously said. And it's line upon line, precept upon precept, as he's teaching us. Dave used to say about 1 John, we don't give this little book the reverence. He said, this is written in John's older years, after a lifetime of serving Jesus. He has seen every false doctrine, every heresy come down the pike. He has seen every ditch on the left and every ditch on the right. And John says, you know, I need to write a letter to keep the church straight down the middle of the road. And he gives an eyewitness testimony 55, 65 years later. And he's still telling exactly what Jesus said. And what he heard Jesus say, what he saw Jesus do. He says, I am testifying as a faithful witness what I have seen and heard. Glory to God. And boy, he is doing it, and he's doing it in a masterful way. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now see, you have to keep everything in context. There's a reason why John writes this at this point in the epistle. It's based on everything that he's been teaching up to this point. So keeping everything in context, when he says up here, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, well, the them means you have not been deceived by the false prophets and teachers that went out from them and have separated themselves from the fellowship of John. And the reason they did that, they separated themselves from the doctrines, the teachings of Christ. So as I was meditating and praying on this passage, I knew by revelation that the phrase little children here, you know, there are several Greek words that could be translated little children. I just knew by revelation it had to be the one for newborn infant. And when I looked it up, sure enough, it is. It's that same Greek word that John used earlier in this epistle, G-5040-T-E-K-N-I-O-N, and it literally means an infant, a newborn, figuratively a new Christian convert. Got that? And he says, infant, let's use that word, infant, you have overcome the world. We don't normally think of infants as being conquerors. But that's exactly what he's saying. You have overcome them, you infant. Now, why would he say that? Because when you get born again, you have escaped the doomed, fallen species of the first man, Adam. You've got to hear this morning's message, what John has previously taught, laying the foundation for this. You have escaped this fallen world that is doomed to perish. You have overcome the death sentence of the world that came through the fall of Adam. You may be a newborn infant, brand new in the kingdom of God. But you are a newborn infant with spiritual life instead of spiritual death. You are of the species of Christ and no longer of the species of Adam. That is why Jesus said back in Luke 7:28, for I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. What a statement. Jesus, in that verse, he's elevating John the Baptist above Moses, above Elijah, above Isaiah, and all of the Old Testament prophets. But he says, but a newborn infant in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. Why? Because John the Baptist and all of the other Old Testament prophets, they all died before the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist never had the opportunity to be born again. He never had the opportunity to become a child of God. He never had the opportunity to become an infant, freshly born into the kingdom of God as a son of God. He had to wait in that place called Abraham's bosom, another place called paradise, until after Jesus finished his work. Then the risen Christ came and preached the gospel to all of those Old Testament saints, including John the Baptist, who had served God even with a sin nature, but they had believed in the promise of the Messiah to come. They were all waiting, waiting in Abraham's bosom, waiting in that place called paradise. Jesus gave us a little glimpse into that pleasant waiting area when he taught about the rich man and Lazarus. You don't have to turn there. Too many verses, but I want to be complete. Luke 16:22-26. And it came to pass that the beggar, Lazarus, died, and he was carried by the angels. Where did he go? Into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Now notice, for I am tormented in this flame. First off, you need to know this is not a parable, because Jesus gives us the name of the man, Lazarus. And he said there was a certain rich man, not in general a rich man. Hell is a real place. I don't care what the modern preachers say. Hell is real. Those that go there are tormented in flames. Do not go there. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. Isn't it like our God? For all of these saints, Moses, David, Noah, Job, on and on and on. All of these, not to mention all those that we don't know their names, that put their trust in the coming Messiah. Thank God they didn't have to go to hell. Thank God there was a waiting place that he had prepared called Abraham's bosom. And a great gulf was fixed between the place of torment and the place of waiting. And I know it was a pleasant place. Thank God for that. Between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed so that they would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. See, Abraham and Lazarus were waiting in a very comfortable place called paradise, along with all of the other Old Testament saints. What a day it was when that price had been paid by Jesus. Can you imagine? All of a sudden, the risen, quickened Lord, quickened from death to life. The price has been paid. His suffering is over. He has risen to new life. And the first place he goes is Abraham's bosom. Can you imagine when he suddenly came and appeared and he preached the gospel to them? And for the first time, and now he has been risen. Now that they have the capacity to hear and believe, and they themselves could be quickened from death to life. And they were all born again. And then he led them with him on a procession on up into heaven. And that's where they are today. Now, Dave, he goes into more detail than that. And you can check it out. It's called the series that he has about the glorified body. He says, oh, yeah. He says, when they all raised, some of them stopped off to witness in Jerusalem. I went, what? If you go read it, really, it said the rocks were rent. And some of them, it said some of the graves were open and people got up and walked around town and preached. Like, we're making a stopover on the way to heaven. Anyway, I recommend that series to you, The Glorified Body by Pastor Dave Roberson, my pastor. Hallelujah. Oh, what a day it was. But now let's get back to John here. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, you newborn infant, and you have overcome them. The very fact that you got born again, you have overcome them. But because, even as an infant, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are of God because you have been quickened by the last man, Adam, Jesus Christ. You have overcome these false prophets, these antichrists, who are teaching that Jesus did not come in the flesh as a new species of man. Remember this morning's lesson, okay? Jesus Christ, he came in the flesh, and they're saying, well, he didn't really come as a man. He was special. You can't be like him. That's not what John's saying. As he is, so are we in this world. And Jesus himself said in John 8:12, those that follow me will not walk in darkness. They shall have the light of life. Amen. John's saying the same thing 55 years later. If you say you're walking in the light, but you're walking in darkness, you're a liar. Because Jesus said, if you follow him, you won't walk in darkness. Okay, that's previous messages. Get all the previous ones. You have overcome those false prophets, those antichrists, who are teaching that Jesus did not come in the flesh as a new species of man. They keep telling you that you're just a mere man, you're just a fallen, sinful creature, and you cannot live above sin. You have overcome them by believing the gospel and being born again as a child of God. You abide in Christ and he abides in you. And he abides in you. Christ in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he in you than Satan, who rules the hearts of every unborn again person on earth. No matter if they seem to be civil or not civil. There's only two kinds of people on earth. Those born of God and those not born of God. That's all there is. There isn't any other kind. Okay? Paul described this mystery this way. Very familiar verse. You don't need to turn there. Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 through 27. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, John and Paul both are only repeating what they heard. What John heard Jesus say, and I don't know. Paul said he was taught by Christ, by the Holy Ghost. They're just repeating what Jesus said all those years before. So you could look it up later. John 14, verses 19 through 21. Paul said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. John says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Jesus said it like this. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. I feel like I need to worship. Personal pronoun. I, not just a force, not just a life. I. More on that later. But now Jesus continues. I want to read that again and finish what he said here, though. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keeps them. Does it sound like they're going to be, he's going to be in you if you don't keep his commandments? Because in the same breath, I and my Father, you and me, I and you, he that keepeth my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, now get this, and will manifest myself to him. I looked up that word manifest. It's Strong's number G1718. E-M-P-H-A-N-I-Z-O. Not going to try and say it for you. I'm not planning on speaking Greek, and neither are you. But the first meaning of that word, the first meaning of that word manifest means to exhibit in person. Glory to God. God comes to show up and show out. Or show off. Isn't that it? Show up and show off. Put on exhibit. I'm going to manifest that I'm in you. Whew. Well, Judas, not Iscariot, he's thinking. Look, I'm reading to you still, continuing, John 14:22-24. Judas, not Iscariot, said unto him, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself to us and not unto the world? Good question. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. I'm sorry, but I have to do the nasalated flesh creature again. Because right at this point, I can just hear it. Well, Brother Gary. No. More nasalated. My Brother Gary. There, that's better. I love Jesus. I mean, I don't keep his commandments, but I love him. John says you're a liar. And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. But Brother Gary, I love Jesus. I don't keep his commandments. But I'm in fellowship with the Father and the Son. You know, that's exactly the same thing that the Antichrist false teachers were preaching. That you could not obey the commandments of Jesus, not yield to them, and still be in fellowship with the Father and the Son. That's exactly what they're preaching. If you do not keep the commandments of Jesus, if you don't yield to him, if you don't bow the knee to that new nature on the inside and follow the direction he gives you in his word and by the Spirit, if you don't do that, yet you say you're in fellowship with Jesus, you may even feel goosebumps when you worship. But that is another Jesus. It's not the one in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because Jesus is the Word. He is the Word made flesh, and he cannot deny himself. But you, little children, infants, newborns, you have Christ in you. Now, we've got to remember, in America, we tend to think Christ is Jesus' last name. Jesus Christ. Dear Mr. Christ. No. What that really means is Christ means Messiah. It's the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah. And it means the anointed one. Think about it. What if you said it like this? Paul said, Christ in you. What if you said it this way? The anointed one in you. Let's just acknowledge that in worship for a minute. Just lift your hands for a moment. Say, I worship you, Father. I worship you, Father. You've made it possible for me to have the anointed one in me. Christ is in me. Father, you are in him. Christ is in me. And you filled me with your Holy Spirit, Father. Father, you are in me. You have made me one with you. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I am the temple of the living God. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Glory. We could spend an eternity right there just worshiping him, and it'd be good. Around the throne, they're casting their crowns even now. Holy, holy, holy. Anyway, glory to God. Now say it. Just say it with me now. Say it with me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The anointed one is in me. Everywhere I go, The anointed one is in me. And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. All right, going back to 1 John 4, verse 5. Still talking about those false teachers and false prophets that went out. Notice it says, they are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. See, that phrase, they are of the world, is still referring to those antichrist, false prophets and teachers who broke fellowship with John and went out from them because they were not willing to abide, live in, obey the commandments of Christ. Again, there's only two kinds of humans on planet Earth. Those born of the first Adam, those born of the last Adam. Those born of the first Adam have the spirit of the world in them. We're going to look at that verse a little later on. Those born of Jesus, the last Adam, have the spirit of Christ in them. These antichrist spirits, the ones that went out from John to go preach, they are of the world. You see where he says that? They are of the world. That means they are speaking the things of the world. They're speaking from the perspective of sense knowledge, feelings, emotions, things that seem reasonable and logical to the natural mind. The world listens to them because it makes sense to them. But see, they sound like natural things. Well, I just can't quit sinning. I'm just weak. God knows how I am. He knows I really can't. I'm just too weak. I mean, who do you think I am? I mean, Jesus, well, yeah, you know, that's this morning's lesson. Remember that this teaching builds on that. I mean, Jesus was able to walk sin free, but he was G-A-W-D, God, in the flesh. That's how he did it. Isn't that right, Brother Gary? No, that is not how he did it. This morning's lesson was plainly from John in Scripture showing Jesus came as a man. Now, he is God, don't get me wrong, but he came, he laid down that divinity. He did not do one single thing in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as God. He did it all as a man. And he is the prototype for man. I like how Bronk did it that time. He has road tested this life for us, and he found it's good. I like that. But see, these guys that went out from John, they're not agreeing with that. They're going, no, he can't stop sinning. We're just normal. We're just fallen, natural people. We can't stop. We're not like, who do you think I am, Jesus? You've heard people talk like that. See, but the world listens to them because those things make sense to the natural mind. Oh, yeah, I have feelings. I have emotions. I feel weak. Yeah, I tried that quitting that sin, and it didn't feel good. Whatever. But see, John is remembering when Jesus had this same kind of discussion with the Pharisees all the way back more than 50 years ago. I'll read it to you. John 8, 42 through 47. Jesus had a very similar discussion. Talking to the Pharisees, he said, if God were your father, and we're talking about little infant, keep it in context, little infant, you have overcome the world. You have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Context, you got it? Jesus, way back there, said, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot keep my word. You, here's Jane, see the ball. You are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you'll do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. I highlighted this. He says, when he, the devil, when he speaketh a lie, you believe that. Because you're just thinking with natural, human, fallen logic. You believe that lie. I'm telling you the truth. And you can't hear me. He's talking to these Pharisees who are not born again. You can't even hear. You can't comprehend. You cannot understand what I'm saying. Why? Because you're not of God. He says, which of you convinces me of which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? And he tells him, he that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Just that simple. He's removing the gray. John is saying that same thing. In 1 John 4, going on to the next verse, verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So if you are born of God, you are able to hear and understand the truth. Those who are born again will remain in fellowship with John and the doctrine of Christ. They can comprehend it. Because they are born of God. I'm going to give you a verse for that, a passage for that in a minute. But these antichrist, false prophets and teachers who have gone out from John to preach false doctrine, I wrote in the world, but they're actually preaching it in the churches. The world will understand them, even if it has the name Christian on the building, because it will make sense to the natural mind. The natural mind, now get this, if you write anything down or remember anything, the natural mind without the Spirit of Christ cannot know the things of God. They are foolishness unto him. He cannot know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now here's our passage for that, and that's Paul writing over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. Now we have received, now meaning now that we're born again, now we have received not the spirit of the world. What's that? Well, the spirit of the world is what every person receives when they're born of their mother. That's what you receive as a child of Adam. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, now that you're born again, see? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. In the margin, I wrote in my Bible, inheritance. Okay? Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now here it is. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now let me stop. Every one of those men, that's why John so emphasized it. They went out from us, they were with us, but they were not of us. They had never truly been born again because they could not understand the things of God. That's why he emphasized it so strong. They were not of us. If they'd have been of us, they would have stayed with us because the gospel doesn't change and Jesus doesn't change. Okay. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Plain English. Well, I can't stop sinning. Come on, you know who I am. That's the natural man. That's a gospel believed based on your senses, based on your emotions, and based on your history. It's got little to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? But they're out preaching that, and people in church, yeah. Okay, I'll get to that in a minute. Y'all tell I love this, right? It's what heats my chili and spins my prop, I tell you. But the natural, verse 14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Now get this, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual says, judgeth all things. The better translation is discerns all things. You have a capacity to know, a capacity to understand. Yet he himself is judged or discerned of no man. What does that mean? Your unsaved relatives will never figure you out. They don't know why you don't want to party with them. They don't know why you don't want to get drunk with them. They don't know why you don't want to enjoy the things of the world. They can't figure you out. Why do you enjoy praying in tongues? We'll never get it. Anyway. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. See, you're an alien, an invader from another realm. If we had time, we'd get into the verses on citizenship. You're not even a citizen of the world. Your citizenship is in heaven. You have the capacity to understand God because you're born of his Spirit. Glory to God. 1 John 4:6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Now let's focus on this part. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Right here, you can know the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Remember earlier in this morning's lessons, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits to see whether they be of God. Remember that whole lesson? He is building on that lesson. If you didn't hear it, you need to go back and hear it. Okay, but now here he says, hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. All right, let's say you're a tongue-talking, born-again, genuine, stamped on you, child of the living God. You're born again. You may be an infant. You may not know much of anything, but you truly know God. And you got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you as an inoculation against deception, as Dave would say. Earlier, John has already taught about you have an unction and anointing from the Holy One concerning those that deceive you. Amen? So let's say you're new in town and you're checking out a church and you don't know whether it's a good church or a bad church. But it says, now hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So you go in and you visit this church. It's of the whatever denomination. You ever heard of that? The whatever. Anyway, we are the church of the whatever. And everything looks right. Everything smells right. People are dressed right. They sing good songs. The choir's good. The piano player's good. You're going, I'm liking this. Okay. And you begin to think, maybe this is a really nice church. And you listen. As the preacher, he begins to preach. And he preaches along this line. Oh, we thank God for Jesus and his blood. Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. He led a sinless life and shed his blood for us. Boy, so far, so good. Hallelujah, man. You know, glory to God. You're looking around to see if anybody else has their hands up because your hands will want to go up. He's preaching good so far, saying, man, this might really be a good church. But right about then, the pastor goes on and he says, oh, we thank God for the grace that covers all of our sins, past, present, and future. God knows that we're just mortal, weak, fallen, sinful creatures. And he knows we're never going to really stop sinning. Now, we love Jesus, but thank God, he knows we can't really keep his commandments. God knows that we are sinful creatures. So he gave us grace that covers all of our disobedience. We are just mere humans, sinners by nature. But we worship Jesus, who was God manifested in the flesh. We love him, but we can never be like him because we are just old sinners saved by grace. All of that is the spirit of error. All of that is anti-Christ. It is anti the very purpose for which he came. Christ came to set sinners free from sin, to make it possible for them to go through the door of death out of Adam and be reborn again into a new species of Christ that can live in the light and walk in the light as he is in the light, and we don't have to sin anymore. That is the gospel. It doesn't make sense to your flesh. Your flesh will whine and cry and scream about it and fight you over it. But the truth of it is, if you will prevail and stay with the gospel, your flesh, it'll scream and kick, but it will eventually come right along because you're going to make it come along. That's who you are. Christ says, you can't be my disciple unless you're willing to keep that flesh on the cross. He had to keep his on the cross. It says he was tempted in all points like we are. That means he could have done it if he'd allowed it. He didn't allow it. We don't allow it. Flesh, I like how Sue says it. Flesh, you're not the boss of me. I'm the boss of you. You don't tell me what, I tell you what. Yeah, the flesh, it never gives you any trouble, does it, baby? She's not going to. She goes, oh. Can you see that spirit of error? Don't you know the church at large is full of that? Most of that I grew up with. And by well-meaning preachers that meant well but don't know the gospel. They know a little. Well, anyway, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for Pastor Dave teaching us how to assimilate the books and pray in tongues. Okay, all of that is a spirit of error. It is a gospel based on sense knowledge and emotions, not the truth of God's word. I still remember today the words of my dad's friend way back when I was 17 years old, an old Ansel Hull. Now, you know you got to be old to have a name like Ansel, A-N-S-E-L. Old Ansel Hull come by. Him and my dad was good friends. He's gone to heaven now. I was about 17, and in my ultimate rebellious years, I might have been 18, I don't know. Drinking and whatever. Anyway, he come by and I was working. It was a hot day. I just remember I was shoveling something. He just patted me on the shoulders. He walked by and he said, "Now, Gary, I went to church for 25 years and thought I was a Christian. And I finally got saved." He just walked on off. Those words haunted me till I was 33 years old. What? I met a man in South Africa who beat that. He said he went to church for 45 years. And never got saved. But I could tell when I met him, he was saved. I said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "Well, I got saved the first time I ever heard the gospel. But I went to church for 45 years and never heard it." I said, "What in the world did they preach for 45 years? "Oh, they preach politics. They preach philosophy. They preach morals. They preach finance. They preach marriage counseling. They preach all this stuff. But I never once heard Christ crucified for me. Not once in 45 years. That was a wealthy church. That is the very church that I give that testimony where they walked out on me because I preached on the Holy Ghost. The pastors did. Later on, that church, that denomination, that sign came down and a dove went up. And today it is a spirit-filled church, South Africa. It wasn't just me. I'm sure God sent minister after minister after minister. Can you imagine going to a, quote, church for 45 years? Think you're okay. What if thank God he didn't die. The church is full of sinners. I'm telling you, the church at large is full of people that think they're okay. One of the scariest stories that Michael Muccio ever told me. I don't think we'd hardly known him very long, and he told me this story. He says, I don't think he invented it. I think he read it somewhere. But he said this guy, he'd gone to hell. And an angel was watching him, you know, and a demon was watching him. It's hell. Anyway, demons. And this guy was walking around and, you know, it's in this vision, people were, they were in the lava right up to their hairline almost. And so this guy was going around and he'd get one by the hair and raise him up. Nope. They'll put him back down. Go to the next one, pick him up, look at him. Nope, he's not the one. Finally, that demon says, "Who are you looking for?" "I'm looking for that preacher that told me I was okay." That is a scary thing. Every one of these antichrist preachers who went out from John is that kind of preacher. Every single one of them. And the church is full of them today. And they don't even know it. John is writing all of this as a faithful witness to what he heard and saw Jesus preach and do more than 50 years before. And I just, almost every lesson, I have to put this verse in there, John 8:12. "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Let us yield to Christ. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, but he's never going to take away our free will. Every day, every hour of the day, you have multiple occasions to yield to him as you walk righteousness. He's speaking through that new nature. He's speaking through whatever he has said to you. We call it here your blueprint. He's speaking to you through the Holy Spirit will bring to your mind what Jesus has already said at the appropriate time. So I wrote, let us yield to the truth. We are followers of Jesus. We no longer walk in darkness. We walk in the light of life. We abide in Christ and his words abide in us. We love him and we keep his commandments. We know him and we keep his commandments. We have overcome them, the false teachers, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Just say it with me again. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Christ is in me. The anointed one is in me. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of that? Oh, glory to God. Say it with me again. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I will not believe a watered down gospel. I will not believe anything except what Jesus said. He has set me free from sin. And I'm going to walk free from sin. I walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of his son Jesus cleanses me from all sin. If I commit a sin, I have an advocate, a lawyer with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I confess my sin, and he forgives me and cleanses me from all unrighteousness. And I'm restored to full inheritance. I am a joint heir with Christ. I say it one more time. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Glory to God. Man, that's good stuff.